Yeah, I really did want to speak a little bit about love and the differences in the New Testament about love. In John chapter 13, in verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." It says we're commanded to love one another. And that love is the fruit of the Spirit, or the proof that we are disciples of Christ. And it's not just, you know, going to church every Sunday. It's that love of God that flows from our hearts to others. And do we have that kind of love in our hearts for each other? Or is it only a shallow love, a skin-deep love? Now, in the New Covenant, there's only generally two types of love spoken about. And the first is that Greek word phileo. And what it means, it's a brotherly love, to be a friend, to have affection for. And that's the most common type of love that we experience in the world. And it's an emotional love that occurs in just about everybody to some degree. And it doesn't make any difference whether they're saved or unsaved. That average person today has that phileo emotional type of love within them. Now, the other Greek word for love is agape. And sometimes they use agapeo. And that's a much rarer type of love that only comes from our Father in heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that agape, or agapeo love, is the love of Jesus shining forth from our heart. It's that divine love that's related to being obedient to God's Word. John chapter 14 and verse 23 says, "Jesus answered him, 'If anyone agape loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will agape love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And whoever does not agape love me does not keep my words.'" That agape or agapeo love is an action type of love, which makes God's word come to life by acting on that word. It's an unconditional, self-sacrificing love that considers others before yourself. Now let's go over into Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love," that's the agape love, "as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." That agape or agapeo love is love put into action. A love that's not just of words, but it's love that has action to it. It's a love that comes forth out of your heart, even when people hurt you, and even when people come against you, it's still a love that comes from the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 says, "Agapeo love," that's the agapeo love, "suffers long and is kind. Agapeo love does not envy, and agapeo love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and it thinks no evil." And that agape love is that love that God had for us, even while we were still sinners and didn't deserve that love. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love," that's agapeo, "he demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, we can see that this type of agape love is a lot different than that phileo love that we have for our friends and our family. That phileo love is only an emotional, skin-deep love, that when our friend hurts us or comes against us, we get upset and break up our friendship with them. That phileo love, it always takes offense and stays offended for what that other person did or said to you. That's not the forgiving agape love that comes from God. It was only the phileo love, that emotional love that we could muster up as a human being out there in the world. It's that emotional love that's only skin deep. Now, it's not all bad to have that emotional love, because everybody who manifests that agape love also has that phileo love. But not everybody who has that emotional phileo love is going to manifest that agape love that comes from God. As Christians, you know, we got to ask ourselves, are we manifesting the fruit of Jesus? You know, anybody can attend church or read their Bibles, but not everybody has the fruit of love. God's love exudes from it. It comes out of from out of our innermost being and out towards others. And if we just spend some time around other Christians, you'll pick it up by their actions. You'll know by what comes out of their mouths if they truly have Jesus in them. You can always tell that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's that agapeo love. And you might ask yourself, why are our actions so important? Because one day you're going to be judged by our actions and not by the faith that we thought we had. And if you don't believe that you'll be judged by your actions instead of your faith, then let's see what Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. But when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. And I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. And then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw Thee hungry and fed Thee, or athirst and gave Thee drink? And when saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? And when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, My brethren, even these least, you did it unto Me. And then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give Me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited Me not. And then shall they also answer, saying, Lord, when saw Thee hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? And then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, we got one group of believers who not only had faith, but they also showed that Lord's agape love and didn't even realize they were doing these things for Jesus. They just did unto others out of pure agape love in their heart. There was action behind their love. And they followed the golden rule. You shall love your neighbor as yourself in Romans 13 and 9. Those believers were manifesting that fruit of Jesus that was living in them, being taught by God how to love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. The true believer is taught by God to love, while that other group of people who are either non-believers or Christians in name only, those Christians said they had faith, but they only had that emotional phileo type of love for others. They didn't have that agape love, that welcomed strangers, fed or clothed others. They didn't show that agape love, that action love. And they didn't even realize that it was Jesus whom they had rejected by not showing that self-sacrificing love. James chapter 2 and verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Those goats had they'd hidden their eyes and hidden their love from the ones who needed it the most. They might have said with their mouth that they loved their neighbor, but you see their actions proved otherwise. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How does that agape love of God abide in him? The Bible says there's another requirement just in addition to just believing Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as he gave us commandment. Those goats didn't love themselves. They only said they loved their fellow man. They only had a love that went skin deep. These goats didn't show that agape love of doing, of action for their fellow man. That which Christ requires in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Excuse me. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Let every one of us, let our love be manifested in our actions instead of our words, just our words. If Jesus is truly our Lord and Master, then we should, every one of us, strive to do what Jesus commands us to do. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39, it says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, a Christian who can truly forgive and turn that other cheek is showing that agape love by what? By his actions. He's willing to take the evil that's coming against him and turn the other cheek in order to get hurt again. And that's what God does for us. He turns the other cheek even when we keep on hurting him by our actions and our disobedience. God continues to give us opportunities to hurt him while we try and get this walk of holiness down. And that's the type of love that we got to have for our fellow men. That's the only type of love that he'll receive, is that agape love. And as we go along and we understand what God's agape love really is, you got to examine what's in your own heart. And you can tell what's in your heart because it's going to be manifested by what you say. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And you got to ask yourself, what's coming out of your mouth when other believers are not listening? What's coming out of our mouth when we're only around our family and those closest to us? Is it the love of Jesus that's coming out of our mouths? Or is it, sometimes we like to snap and angry words come out of it? You can hide that stuff when you're around other Christians, but in front of the family or the people who's closest to you, that's when the real person comes out. And you got to ask it. Is it Jesus coming out of our mouths, or is it something other than Jesus? In James chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle a whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? Well, he's telling us there that things that are small can control much larger things. When that bit controls that horse, if any of you have been riding horses before, you know that you can turn that horse by pulling on either the left or the right rein on it and turn that whole big old horse. Now, if you've ever been on a ship or a large boat, that rudder will turn that little rudder on that ship will turn that ship around. And he also says our tongue controls our entire body. And it's either going to cause us to manifest Jesus, that love that Jesus has, or our tongue is going to cause us to stumble. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Amen. What often comes out of our mouth shouldn't be coming out of it a lot of times. But the natural man, he doesn't have the ability to control that tongue. It's only when Jesus truly lives in us that love comes out. And you should look at every one of us ought to look at our heart as a storehouse. And the more of the Word of God we put into that storehouse, the more of the love of Jesus is going to fill our heart. And the more Jesus we have in us, the more Jesus begins to overflow out of our mouths and produce the fruit of that love toward others. It says the good person out of the good treasures of his heart produces good. Let's all strive to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, that's agape love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. God tests us every day to see if we love him. He does it every day. He's been testing me around here. I can tell you that. But he does that by saying if we're going to obey him and his word. That's the reason he does it. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. And when you got somebody coming against you, persecuting and telling lies on you and bad things about it, that's a fiery ordeal in and of itself. But when we're obeying the word of God and turning the other cheek, it even seems more painful. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, it's painful because we're not defending ourselves, but we're trusting ourselves to the Father just like Jesus did. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued trusting himself to him who judges justly. You know, Jesus forgave. He didn't threaten. He didn't call on angels against these people. He kept his words pure. What's coming out of our mouths when we're facing these fiery trials? God's always tested his people to see if they're going to obey him. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. And then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And those who bear that name of Christian today, are they any different than those people back then? No. God still tests us every day to see if we really do agape love him by obeying him. Remember, it's an action love. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sin. And all of us need to ask the Lord if there's anyone in which we have any bitterness against or anyone that we haven't forgiven. And when the Lord places those people in your mind, you got to act on those who come to mind and forgive them from the heart. That is that action love, that agape love that God so wants to see from us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Verse 21. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's the divine nature of God shining through us. That's that agape love. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Are you doing that? Are you doing that to those who have taken from you? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. You know, God can replace anything that people take from us, whether they steal our valuables or take us to the courts, but by turning the other cheek and not fighting back. Our Father, who owns everything in the world, he can replace those material goods. The Lord can give it back seven times what was taken from us. God is not looking for obedience. God is looking for obedience in all his people. Above everything else, he's looking for that obedience. That's that action love he looks for. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. 28. 28. But he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus is looking for obedience. And he says that we're not blessed when we read and hear the word of God. We are blessed only when we keep it. There's the action. We've got to keep it. Those that love God is going to keep his word. By keeping God's word, they're going to love their fellow brothers and sisters, not only in word, but in deed too. John chapter 15 and verse 12. My command is this. Agape love, agapeo love, each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. And you are my friends if you do what I command. And as I said before, we're tested every day to see if we're going to love God and show that love for our fellow men. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. You know, and just like those spiritual ancestors were tested, we are tested every day in order for God to see what's down deep in our heart. What's God found now in your heart and my hearts? We have to decrease and allow Christ to increase in us. As John the Baptist said in John chapter 3 and verse 30. We've got to have that same mindset as John. Kill the flesh, and I'll just use me, kill Michael and let Jesus come alive in me. Matthew 16 and 25, it says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And if we're still finding ourselves being self-centered, without much of that self-sacrificing agape love, it just really means we haven't died yet. We hadn't died to ourselves. Because why? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Doesn't seek its own. Is not provoked. It thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Is that the kind of love we have for others? And as we decrease and Christ increases in our lives, that agape love starts to manifest in our lives. It's Christ living us, in us, and through us. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And in order to manifest that love of Christ in our lives, saints, we must deny ourselves daily and take up that cross, take up our cross, crucifying that old nature, which is that old selfish and self-serving person. And we need to decrease while Jesus increases. And that's, David, that's just about all I have. I have one more verse, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. Let all that you do be done with love. That's agape love. Amen?
Amen. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what you said about in the lost, this phileo love is kind of unstable. It's kind of finicky. It reacts to, you know, the situations around you, whether people love you or not, whether they treat you nice or not. And if you're not controlled by your spirit man, instead controlled by your emotions, then it just is totally unstable. You know, a person, however, who is controlled by agape love, that, like Michael says, it expresses itself in action, in obedience, so on and so forth. The person who is doing that also has their emotions under control. The other person, they're controlled by their emotions, the other way around. So when you got your emotions under control, in that kind of a case, phileo love is a good thing. You know, friendship is good. Tender affection is good. Phileo is good. And the Father himself loves. Like in chapter 16 and verse 27, it says, "For the Father himself loveth," and that's the word phileo, "loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I am come forth from the Father." So the Father can have this tender affection, this friendship with you, which is good in his case because he is agape love. You know, if you are agape love, then you are in God, because agape love is what the Bible says God is. God is agape, 1 John 4:8, right? So in God, this phileo love is not unstable or finicky, because if you notice, folks, your emotions kind of go up and down with what you see, what you hear, what you feel around you, you know. That's when you haven't yet become stable in obedience to God, and which is, of course, that agape love, you know. So once you become stable in agape love, the same kind of love in you is then stable. It is submitted to the Spirit. It is not controlling you. It's being controlled by the spiritual man in you, and it's being controlled by agape love in you. So, I mean, Jesus, in John 20 and verse 2, it says of this, "She runneth therefore and cometh unto Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." And that's a phileo love, you know. Jesus had emotional, tender affection, friendship for people. And it was totally stable and totally good, you know. The most important thing that God desires of us is he commands of us agape. He doesn't command us phileo. You don't command people's emotions. They just come naturally, you know. And you can command someone to obey, you know, and that's, of course, if you obey me, you will... You'll keep my commandments, and the Father will love you, and so on and so forth. So if you keep my commandments, then you love God. You agape God if you keep his commandments. But if you do that, you have brought phileo under submission, you know, to your spiritual man. You know, Jesus, like we saw, loved the Father's love for Jesus. Is also a phileo love. Let me read that to you. John 5 and 26, I think. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice." No, let's see, 20. Yeah, 20. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth." And that's the word phileo. So the Father's love for the Son is a tender, an affection. It's a friendship, and his love for us is the same. You know, we know in 16:27, "For the Father loveth you, himself loveth you," phileo, right? So the neat thing is that the Lord wants to come and regenerate the whole man, doesn't he? When people in the world, for instance, they don't know God and they don't have his agape love, two people could fall in love. And they can just as easily fall out of love. And the reason is that what they're dealing with is only phileo love. And it is manipulated by the other person's actions. Well, agape love is not manipulated by other people's actions. It's manifested through obedience to the Word of God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what he said. So it isn't, agape love is not manipulated like that, you see. But phileo love, if that's all you've got when you're in the world, it can be. And you can fall out of love with somebody because of their actions towards you and that what they say towards you and so on and so forth. And, you know, this is in Christians, even, that they begin to like or dislike people according to the way they're treated. But, you know, he said, love your enemies. The Lord said, love your enemies, right? You know, Jesus, when they were taking him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was constantly thinking about them, you know. Well, I can tell you what most people would be thinking about them if they was on a cross and these people had put them there. And you know what they'd be thinking, too. You know, Lord, send down some fire out of heaven and burn them up, you know. But he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, you know. And it is true. It is so true. The people around us who are in bondage to Satan and who live after the precepts of the world, they don't know what they're doing. They're totally blinded. Even Christians, you know, that and many times are controlled by the devil, they don't even realize their actions. You know, they don't realize how foolish they are. You know, this thing that Michael just preached, it should convict an awful lot of Christians because they act and live in phileo love that is unstable and finicky. And instead of the obedience that we're supposed to have to the Word of God, the renewed mind and obedience to the renewed mind, that is agape love, because agape is the fulfillment of the law, right? Praise God. And also, I'm going to read to you just a little bit out of 1 John. I know Michael read out of 1 John. I'm going to read a little bit there, too. By the way, we also have Paul Reimel with us and from Tennessee now. Michael Hare and Paul Reimel are both from Tennessee now. And so they'll probably jump in, too. I'm going to read this verse to you in 1 John 4, and verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is begotten of God, or born of God. Talk about what is born again. Well, if you're born again, that part of you that is born again, it will agape love, okay? Love is of God. Everyone that loveth. Everyone that loveth is begotten or born of God. Same word. And knoweth God. If you have agape love, you're born of God and you know God. That part of you is, you know, obviously we are being born of God, spirit and soul and body. Ultimately body. But that part of you that is born of God, love. And there are many wicked people out there that call themselves Christians because they don't love. They only demand, you know, their own will. And they only do things because of self and ego. You know, and these people are untrustworthy. They're angry. They're unforgiving. They're wicked. Just as the Bible says. You know, much of what is said, for instance, in the Psalms, it talks a lot about the wicked and the righteous, you know. And you know, most cases, he's speaking about the people that are the people of God when he says the wicked, in most cases. That's who do you think, for instance, David, who wrote many of the Psalms, was dealing with? It was the people of God. He didn't have much dealings with the world. It was mostly with the people of God. And many of them were wicked. I got to tell you, folks, we need to be born from above, born of the Spirit of God. And agape love is the manifestation of being born from above. It's the end result, according to 1 Corinthians 13, right? And verse 8 here says, He that loveth not knoweth not God. If a person does not agape, they don't know God. For God is love. Now, I can tell you that sure does cull an awful lot of people that call themselves Christians. You know? Herein was the love of God manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. For no man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Praise the Lord. If we love one another, if we agape one another, God abides in us. And we know God, and we're born of God. Notice that. Oh, that's some pretty hard statements. And it's, you know, the end result of being renewed in our mind and walking after agape is the love that is God Himself. You know, God is agape. If you become like God, you are agape too. You know, it has taken over, you know. If we love one another, God abideth in us, and His love is perfected in us. This is how you know that God is perfected. Now remember, God is agape, and He says, and love is perfected in us. That is, God is perfected in us, right? Hereby we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he in God. And we know, and we have believed, the love which God hath in us. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God. Well, I tell you, this is for your discernment. This is how you judge fruit, you know. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. Oh, praise God. This is so you can discern what is a true Christian and what is not. Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, even so are we in this world, even as he is. Well, he is what? He is love. And in this world, we will be loved. And you will know them because of their love, one for another, right? 18. Therefore, there is no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath punishment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, we want to be made perfect in love, because that's being made perfect in God, for God is love. Right? So growing up and maturing in God, the end result, you know, is like it says in 1 Corinthians 13. I'll go back and read that. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, for now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face, talking about coming face to face with God in the mirror of your own life, right? For now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as I also was fully known. But now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. So follow after love. That's what he says. The greatest of these is love. And you can have all, according to 1 Corinthians 13, you can have all kinds of gifts, all kinds of power, and all this, but if you don't have love, he says, you're nothing. You are nothing. And, you know, faith works through love, the Bible says. I want to say the gifts work through love, too. Many times does it speak of Jesus' love, you know, when he was manifesting these gifts. And back where we were in 1 John 4 and 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. It is a gift from him, right? He loved us enough to give us his love, to sow his love. His, according to Romans, he shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. That's a good confession. You can make that confession. If you want the love of God, you confess it. You ask for it, and you confess it, because it says He shed it abroad in your heart. So we believe that God has given us this love, and we, of course, respect it. If a person doesn't respect it, the only thing they respect is self. They can't have love. If they're just respecting ego, they can't have love. The only thing they respect is themselves. And the self is the enemy of God. And so, you know, love is the very opposite of self. You know, if a man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, what does that word hate mean? Well, it means being malicious and unjustifiably feeling bad towards someone or toward another, you know. If a man says that I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. It's easy to see hatred. I mean, everybody wants to justify it, you know. Oh, it's you, it's you. You got a problem. You're bad. Oh, you're, you know, on and on and on. But anybody can see hatred. The people in the world can see hatred. You know, in fact, sometimes the people in the world are wiser than the people in the kingdom and more discerning too. And Jesus said the same thing. You know, it's amazing how the Christians can't see how evil and wicked they are sometimes. If a man says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, cannot love God, whom he hath not seen. You hear that? Amen. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Okay, so if you do love God, you're going to love your brother. And if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. And if you don't love God, you're not going to love your brother. I mean, that's all things that we can see from that verse. And it takes some meditation, some thought on this, you know. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 John especially is very educating concerning what love is, you know. And I like also chapter 5, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is begotten or born of God. And whosoever loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Well, amen to that. Hereby we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do His commandments. So, if you do His commandments, you don't only love God, you love the children of God. If you don't obey His commandments, you don't love either one. And you're not in the family because you're not born of God. Did you hear what I said? You're not even in the family because you're not born of God, because you don't have love. Right? You know, born is relative. It's relative to how much of your life you have given up to God through repentance when you read the Word of God. You can be born of God a little, or you can be born of God a lot. But I got to say, if you're not born of God enough, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. And thank God for that, because we certainly wouldn't want the kingdom to be polluted with what some people call Christianity. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. Well, I agree 100%. Praise be to God. They're not grievous. They're a joy. You know, they are a joy. If a person loves God, they're going to love His Word, because He is also the Word of God. And the Word of God is love. I mean, He sent His Word because He loved. And He sent His love by sending His Word. And He sent His Word to heal us and to deliver us, to save us. And it is an expression of His very nature, which is what? Love. Yes. So, I don't know, Brother Paul, you might have some things you want to share, and Brother Frank, too. Y'all got some things you want to share about love?
Well, you know, it's just amazing how the Spirit moves.
Rick, before you started ministering, the Lord just brought me over here to 1 John chapter 4, where you started off at number 7. And I just thought, wow, Lord, that's amazing. But just like Brother Michael was talking about and what you've been expounding on, I just know, you know, just to give a little testimony for myself, because I remember about, I guess it was about maybe 16 or 17 years ago, I remember just crying out to God and say, you know, what is love? And because I didn't really understand it. You know, a lot of we're a product of our parents anyway, and under that fallen nature. But praise God, after we get born of God's Spirit, you know, and as we're getting our soul saved, we're coming into the image of Christ. And that's powerful to me. And so when I cried out to the Lord, He started showing me His love. You know, if you lack wisdom, ask. And that's what I did, because I didn't know what love was. I didn't know how to love people. I didn't know how to be compassionate towards people. I was an Air Force brat. I was bounced around the country. Sometimes I live in one place 6 months, sometimes 2 years. So I was always being uprooted. And so what came in me as a young lad, I could break off relationships real quick. I mean, it was no problem with me. But that stems from a hard heart. See, that wasn't a healthy thing that was happening to me. And because it was a shield in me, you know, a guard, you know, so I wouldn't be hurt. And so that went on for quite a few years in my life. And, you know, it's just like an onion, you know, you start peeling it, you know, unpeeling all the hurts and the pains and all that. So God started doing that in my life, you know, through repentance and believing on Him and believing in the deliverance ministry and believing that God can heal my heart and all that. And so it was a process that the Lord started revealing His heart and His love, and to where I could manifest love to people and compassion to people, because I lack compassion too. And I know one time I had a minister say to me, because he saw me go through a lot of trials and tribulations many years ago, and he said, We know that you have emotions, but we just don't ever see it, you know. And, well, he was right, because I was damaged. So I didn't have any emotions, a whole lot of emotions, you know. And so there again, the Lord started peeling, you know, as the Word of God started coming forth, and reading the Word of God and feeding on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in the promises of God and reading Psalms. And Lord just really started pouring things into me and giving me understanding, and through that process, you know, where He's saving your soul and all that through the engrafted Word of God. It's just amazing to me how the Lord did that and started abiding in Christ and believing the Word of God, believing the good report like Caleb and Joshua, you know. And God just doing that work in my heart so I could manifest. I know one time, it wasn't too long ago, just a couple of years ago, maybe 3 at the latest, but I don't think it's been that long, really. You know, Vicky, my wife, she broke her arm. And, well, about 4 days later, we prayed and believed for that. And, well, in that time of process, the Lord was showing me how to manifest, well, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, you know. Well, this will happen to be compassion. And I just happened to, you know, because we've had, you know, home ministries for quite a few years. And so I was just ministering on the Word of God. But when I looked over, I saw the pain on her face. And David, you know, touched base on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where, you know, we need to manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit with love, you know, through love. And I saw the pain as I was ministering. And I know that we, you know, prayed 4 days ago. And so after, you know, after I was through, I just asked Vicky to get up, you know, stand up, you know. And I already prayed, so I'm not going to re-pray the prayer that I just prayed, because we were already on believing grounds, you know. So just real gently, what I did was I just lifted both my hands and lift her arm just very gently. I was doing it very gently. I wasn't doing it hard or anything like that. I didn't snap her, you know, arm or anything like that, you know. And move your arm. You know, I just didn't do that because that's not what God was showing me at that moment. You know, the Lord was showing me compassion. And that's what I was to manifest. And the Lord was changed how I really do a lot of ministry with people now, to be gentle with people. And, well, anyway, so I put my both my hands under her arm very gently, and I lifted and I looked up, and I just said, "Thank you, Father, for healing her arm, her broken arm." Well, you know, I felt the anointing, you know, and praise God, and I just gently put her arm back down, and her arm was totally manifested the next day. So God did something during the night and manifested her arm, her broken arm. Well, see, that's what the Lord does, you know, and I manifested, you know, even though I manifested with compassion, but I was also manifesting the love of Christ in that situation. But just like many people, you know, out there battle with love, you know, and loving one another. And so I started doing research on the agape love and started going in there in my Bible, and everywhere it was agape, just to separate the phileo and the agape so I knew which one I was actually reading, you know. And I started learning a lot, and I know that Michael, you know, expounded on a lot of that. And, but one of the things I know, and it's something that the Lord has really put in my heart, is ready to serve. And that's agape love right there, is having a servant's heart. And over here in Philippians chapter 1, it talks about, and Paul prayed this, and I for many years I prayed this, you know, and I still do as the Lord puts it in my heart. But verse 9, it says, "And this I pray." Now listen to what he's saying. "That your love, the agape love, abound," and that means to be over and above, "yet more and more in knowledge and all discernment." Wow. See, God wants our love to abound more and more in knowledge and discernment so that you may approve the excellent, that you be sincere and void of offense unto Christ's day, filled with fruit of righteousness, which is through Jesus Christ, unto God praise and glory. So that's the reason why it's so important for us to study to show ourselves approved, why we divide in the word of truth, so that we're reading the word of God, hearing the word of God, because his word is spirit and life to us. But God also, you know, I'm going to put a little twist on what Michael and David Eales was talking about a servant's heart. And we have to have a servant's heart. We have to, you know, over here in chapter 2 in Philippians, it says, I'll just start out with the first one. It says, "If therefore any exhortation," which means encouragement or comfort, "is in Christ, if any consolation," meaning comfort too, "of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercy and compassion, make full my joy, that you think the same, having the same love." So God wants us to think the same, you know, speaking the word of God to one another, to encourage one another in love, you know. So the agape love is the God kind of love, and that's what he wants us to grow up. He said, "Agape me," you know, the agape love. He said, "Being of one soul and one mind." So he wants us to be in one soul, one mind, not in a division. You know, Paul even rebuked that in the Corinthians church. He said, "I hear that there's division amongst you. That should not be." You know, so God wants us to love one another. Not hate one another, but love one another. To be kind one to another. To think our brother or sister above ourselves. Because if we don't think that way, well, we're deceiving our own selves, actually. You know. You know, I realize that, you know, we, just like David Eales has taught us for so many years, you know, to let people grow at their own rate. And that's a wonderful thing, because that's what I've learned to do for many years now since I got the light in that. and let people grow at their own rate, because a lot of times people come under this message, well, if you come out of the charismatics, you're going to be in star glory, because that's what all the charismatic movement is now, is star glory, star glory, star glory, star glory. It's all about me, 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 you know. See what I can do, see what I can do, you know. Oh, I just got this great anointing, you know. I got this and I got that, you know. Well, then we learn real quick when you get under this type of message, you know, death to the self-life, just like Michael was talking about. Denying self, picking up your cross and following after Jesus. And picking up your cross, we know, means to take on the Lord Jesus Christ's nature, his mind, will, and emotions, and to become like him. So we become a mirror of the Word of God. We were reflecting the Son, you know. And so the Lord just doesn't want us to camp out in star glory. He doesn't want us to camp out just in moon glory, but he also wants us to be adopted into sonship. And that's very important for us to press in for the high calling of God. But that's not in an arrogant way. That should be in a loving way. And we should really want to see our brothers and sisters to press in. You know, if we really love one another, we'll pray for one another. We won't condemn one another. See, Satan comes in through his minions, you know, to put doubt and unbelief and schism and all kinds of junk in our hearts, you know. But we don't need to let that allow that to happen. We need to cast down those ungodly imaginations and those evil reasoning. Because that's what it is. It's coming from the enemy. The Lord told us to put on the full armor of God, you know, to put on the helmet of salvation, you know, the mind of Christ, the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the belt of truth, the word of God, you know, the sword of the Spirit. Claiming the promises of God, claiming the promises of God for our brothers and sisters. And if we really love each other, we'll do that. See, that'll be in our heart. That'll be a natural thing, because that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So he wants us to be having the same love, being of one soul, of one mind, doing nothing through faction, you know, which is the root of jealousy. See, if we're jealous of one another, we're hindering the Lord to do a work in our life. We need to repent and believe the gospel and cast out that unclean spirit, because it's very unclean. And that's what Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. And see, ask the Lord to change our heart, to change our mind in Jesus' name, you know, because it's in him we live, move, and have our being. Without him, we can do nothing, you know. We need to consider ourselves an unprofitable servant when we're doing good works, because that's our duty to do, to do all these good works. But we ought to do it in love. You know, I used to say things like this, you know, like, let's say your wife or something like that, when you're having a fellowship, let's just say that your wife bakes cookies or brings food and all that, or there's some people that go before us, you know, to set up the chairs and all that kind of stuff. If you're not doing that in love, you don't need to be doing that, because that should be an act of love. I've heard brothers and sisters, you know, gripe and complain when they didn't hear or get any praises from any man or woman or whatever. See, if you're looking for that, or I'm looking for that, see, that's all for the wrong reason. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in words or deeds, you do all in the name of Jesus. You're doing it for the glory of God. You're not wanting to receive praises from man. But a lot of times, you know, people fall into that, or they get wounded because so-and-so didn't recognize, or the pastor didn't recognize, or the prophet or whoever didn't recognize you. You know, well, you know, there should not be, because people are people, you know, and people are not doing anything to hurt people. Now, some people are out there trying to hurt other people. You can hear it in their voice. You can hear it the way they talk, you know, and all that. But you know what? If somebody does come against you, you know what? On our side, this is what we do. We just pray for them and say, Father, forgive them. I already forgave them from my heart. You know, I release them in my forgiveness, you know, and pray for one another, because we're all growing at different rates. And some people are getting it in one area. Maybe you're getting it in one area, but this brother or sister is getting it in another area. So we're growing up together in Him, you know. So we have to learn to be sensitive one to another and learn to pray for them. If you see a brother in fault, pray for him first, you know, and then if you have to go to him, then go to him, you know. But a lot of times you can just pray for people and you can see the manifestation, but you don't have to go up to that person and say, hey, I pray for you, you know. No, you don't have to do that. Because if you do it in secret, God's going to bless you for that. Because that's love. Because you love that person. Or what if somebody comes into your midst that rubs you the wrong way? Love on them. Just you know, go that extra mile with that brother or sister, you know. Show them that you love them, you know. The God kind of love, you know. Agape them, you know. And love them from the heart. And if you see that God put you in a situation that is uncomfortable for you, well, you need to go before God and say, well, Lord, show me what's in my heart because I'm not understanding why I feel this way towards that person or that person over there, you know. So God's allowing a situation, somebody to come in and rub you the wrong way on purpose so he can expose your heart so you may not have to go through a heavy trial for, just like Job did. So God can deal with you quicker, you know. But a lot of times we ignore things or we just think we have some kind of a discernment, which is really not discernment. It could be a critical spirit and all that, and we need to judge that. We need to examine our own heart and make sure that, you know, we're not judging somebody, you know, just because they don't maybe do the same thing that we do or have the same belief system like we do. And or they're not where you are at this moment, so we need to shore that brother or that sister up and bring them if that's what they're wanting. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, that everybody's going to want to come up to the level of life that we have in the Word of God, because some, even Paul said some don't have faith, you know, and he was talking about Christians. So he says right here, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in what? Lowliness of mind, counting one another better than themselves, not looking each severally for one's own ability to his own, but each severally also to those of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the mind of Christ right there, you know. And so we should study that to show ourselves approved and to manifest the Lord Jesus Christ and die out to the self-life. And if we're damaged anywhere, ask the Lord. He'll bring healing. I know the Lord used to wake me up, and I share this all the time. Sometimes I'd have a dream about something. Lord, give me a dream. And the next morning, or sometimes 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up after I had that dream, and I'd say, oh, Father, I'd go into the other room, you know, not to wake up my wife. I said, Father, forgive me, you know. I know what that dream was about. I know what I said yesterday, you know, and I know what I did. And thank you, Father, for this warning dream so I can get it right. And then I would repent and I would cast out if I need to, because the Bible does say, you know, instructs us to cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirits, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I want the fear of God in my heart, you know, to fear Him only. And so I would deal with things like that. And I praise God when He gives me dreams, and a warning dream or an encouragement dream or something like that. A lot of dreams that I get, the Lord is not wanting me to share it with everybody. But sometimes when it's for the body of Christ, that's when I need to share it with the body of Christ. Or if I get a dream that maybe I'm not getting real clear on it, I may go to a brother and say, hey, I got a dream, man, you know. I'd like to share it with you, or I may share it with the body of Christ. I don't do it at every meeting, but I do it every once in a while as the Lord leads me. But he says, but in lowliness, I'm repeating that, in lowliness of mind, and that means humbleness of mind, lowliness or humbleness of mind, counting one another better than themselves. Because if Christ can do that, He's given us the faith to believe all the promises of God, to manifest the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is manifest in Christ. And then he says, this is something I've also been praying for the body of Christ, too. And I heard David Hill say this just not too long ago. And I picked up on that real quick. You know, I've always prayed, you know, that Christ be formed in us. And I heard David Hill say the other day, you know, through a message, sonship. He said, I pray that Christ be formed in you, sonship. And that's what we want. We want to be adopted into sonship and to manifest Christ in us, the hope of glory, to lose our life so we can gain his life. Because his life is so much wonderful than our life. Our life, the soulish realm, stinks in God's eyes. That old man in us, you know, like David Hills has been expounding on lately, he could care less. He's in cahoots with the devil, basically. The principalities and the demonic forces are controlling a lot of people out there, and even a lot of brothers and sisters through the demoniacs are controlling people's old man, you know, or influence, and he's in cahoots with that. When God formed man into the dust, what happened? He formed man, and then when he breathed life into man, then he became a living soul. So breath, life, you know, spirit, came into man, which came from above. And but then when Adam sinned, he spiritually died. Praise God that God loved us so much and gave his only begotten Son, you know, that whosoever believe on him shall have eternal life. That's what love is all about. And that's what God's want to manifest in our life, is love. It manifests in Jesus, you know, because he is the wisdom of God. There's no other wisdom out there that means a hill of beans. There's only one wisdom, and that's the wisdom of God, and that's Jesus Christ in us. He is the wisdom of God. The Bible, you know, encourages in the Old Testament and the New Testament to get wisdom, to get knowledge, to get understanding, so that we will know the will of God. And that's what the Lord is really encouraging us to do, is to believe all the promises of God. I know that I shared this with a brother the other day. You know, we were talking, and I said, the Lord wants us to, you know, to know the whole counsel of God, not just part of the counsel, but the whole counsel. And Paul said, I shun not to declare the whole counsel of God with us. And that's a blessing to us, you know. And so how would we ever know unless we read the Word of God and feed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And as we're feeding on him, we have life within ourselves because we have his life. And praise God, if we have the life of Jesus, we have the Father's life. And it doesn't get any better than that. So the Lord gives us more instructions, you know. He says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in God's form, praise God, counted not the being on an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion or likeness of a man, he humbled himself. Whoa. You know, when I read these kind of verses, I mean, it just really brings a conviction on my heart. And it's like, if Jesus can humble himself, we should humble ourselves before a mighty God. If we're trying to exalt ourselves to be something or to be recognized by people, you know, we're kidding ourselves. And we'll be exposed if we're doing that, because pride always goes before a fall. I know that quite a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago, I was asked to minister at this Pentecostal church. Well, that was unusual for me because I was basically charismatic in the charismatic movement for quite a few years. But the Lord opened the door for me to minister in this one. It was a kind of a word church, but it was a Pentecostal church. And I didn't realize the pastor there, who was also known as a prophet, you know, was drying up on the vine. I mean, the Lord didn't show me that, but as my wife was getting ready, I just happened to be in the room with her, and I just kind of laid on the bed on my back on the bed, and when my head hit the bed, I had an open vision of Jesus on the cross. It was like, wow, you know, it was like I was there, and I was looking up at him, and I saw what the soldiers did, you know, and how he was bleeding all over, and the crown was, the thorns of crown was, I mean, crushed down on his head, you know. I could see it bleeding out of his head, and I could see where they actually pulled on his beard, you know, and the Lord was allowing me to see this, and I thought, wow, Lord, this is really awesome, you know. This is beyond comprehension, you know, anybody's comprehension, you know, what he went through for us. On top of that, for us, because he loved us so much, and he was willing to do that for us. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm just in awe. And I was in this vision, and he looked down at me, and he said, "Now go do what I called you to do." And then I came out of the vision. But during that, because it was a supernatural thing taking place, when I came out of the vision, I started crying. But I felt like the love of God was just shed abroad in my heart. The love of God was shed abroad in my heart. So after about an hour later, you know, I come to this meeting, not really knowing anybody there. I didn't really know, just except a few, you know. And so I started ministering on the Word of God. He asked me to come up there to minister, and I did. And after I got through, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for somebody to get healed. And the pastor said, "Man, you don't know what you've done." I said, "What?" He says, "I'm on fire." I said, "Well, praise God, you know." You know what I did? I handed the microphone, sat down. Because it's not about us, folks. It's all about Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, if we have star glory in our life, you might as well forget it. Because God will humble you. Just like I think it was quoted tonight. You know, you can do all these works. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and all that. And we can stand before a mighty God, and he can say to us, and I don't mind telling people this, because I know I was caught up in the charismatic, you know, movement there for a while, and I got into star glory, and I know that if I continued in that, I could have been one of those casualties. I could have been one of those that Jesus could have said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I just praise God for his mercy and his grace and his love in my life. You know, Paul always would say, you know, in a lot of his letters, and I'll just kind of group it all together, he says, he would say after, you know, to encourage the brothers and sisters, he would say, "May the Lord love, grace, mercy, peace, and joy be in your spirit." And that just really spoke volumes to me one day. And a lot of times he'll start out saying, you know, like he does in the Philippians, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, he always would start out with a blessing and end with a blessing, you know, to encourage the brothers and sisters, you know, and all that. So that's what the Lord wants us to do. He said, "I didn't come here to be ministered to, but to minister," you know. And we're his hand or hands to manifest whatever he wants us to manifest in people's lives. Today, me and a brother, another Michael, he called me up and asked me if I would have lunch with him. I said, "Sure, you know, let's do it." And so we ate lunch and all that. And, well, a situation happened with the receptionist, you know, taking the money, you know, and all that. She started talking and saying some things and what the bank did to her. And she had money in her bank, you know, even before her baby was born. And, well, they were hitting her left and right because they were doing some things in the banking system. Not really totally understanding everything that they're doing, but obviously when she ran out of money and she was using her debit card or something, they would, you know, hit her with maybe, let's just say, $5. And obviously it must have happened a lot. But she had some resentment and bitterness about it, and I sensed that. So me and Michael, you know, we just started sharing to her, you know, saying, hey, listen, you know, forgive them for what they did. Because I said, are you a Christian, you know? She said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, well, praise God. I said, listen, forgive that banking system and those people. It's not worth it, you know. Let go and let God. I said, God will bless you for that. He'll recompense you. So forget about it. Michael was also encouraging her, too. And so we were sharing the gospel to her. We were just encouraging a sister that we didn't even know, you know, in the natural, just to encourage her, you know, not to be in bitterness or resentment towards the bankers that done her wrong. And I know it tears a lot of people up because a lot of things happen out there. But it's going to get worse out there. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And Paul, even through the Word of God, tells us that, you know, in the latter days, you know, a lot of things are going to happen. And so, you know, people are going to be lovers of self and all that. They could care less. They're going to be arrogant and rebellion and have no natural affections or anything like that. So that's what we're dealing with, because people are watching all kinds of ungodly programs now. I mean, they're more ungodly than when I was watching them. I mean, I was only watching like things like when I was a kid, like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie and all that. Now, I mean, it's really demonic, you know. And I praise God that the Lord put it in my heart and in my wife's heart, too, to let go of that foolishness, to let go of that occultic influence that people are watching now. Now people are falling into vampires, werewolves, and, you know, reading books about vampires and reading books, you know, and they're getting so messed up. And that's the world that we're dealing with. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians. How Christians are so caught up in the Harry Potter and witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. And it's in the church, folks. So we have to have love. And that's what God's preparing us to have love when we go through tribulation. When God births the man-child ministry and the bride. So that we can have compassion on our brothers and sisters that are in the system. Because they're going to be bound by all kinds of stuff. Just like back in Jesus' day, what was he doing? He was casting out demons. He was healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and raising the dead, you know. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Because the body is sick right now. God wants to bring healing to his body. He wants to bring deliverance to his body. Because he loves his body so much. It's not God's will for anybody to perish. And he's talking about the body of Christ. He ain't talking about the world. He's talking about the body of Christ. He said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because they're not getting wisdom. They're not getting the wisdom of God. They're not getting the understanding of God because they're not reading their Bible. They would rather go listen to this person or listen to that person, you know. And that's not going to cut the mustard when it gets down to it. I think I've heard Michael say that before. See, that's not going to cut it. You know, we have to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because God loves us with such an everlasting love. And then he says right here, let me get back to it, who existing in God's form counted not the being of an equality with God ought to be grasped at, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form. And then he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death. Yeah, death of the cross. So Jesus went to the physical cross, and I believe one of the reasons why the Lord gave me that vision of him being on the cross, so I have a little bit of understanding the cross message. And I just praise God for that, because I didn't really understand a lot of things for many years. But he went to a physical cross so we could go to our spiritual cross. Because we have to renounce everything. Have no affection for the things of the world, you know. See, if we love God, we'll obey God. If we love God, we'll do what he says, you know. If we'll do his commandments, you know, which is the word of God. We'll do it, you know. And we won't struggle in it anymore. If we really want to, if we really have an honest and good heart, and we really want to be pure before a holy God, and the grace will be there, just like David Ills was ministering on. I've been listening to the message he did last time. I haven't listened to it all of it yet, but I've started listening to it because I don't have an internet connection right now. But, you know, I started listening to it today. You know, I was just really getting blessed, you know. the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. We need the Word of God. God has given us something very precious, and that's Himself, the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We definitely need the Word of God. We need to feed on the Word of God. You know, that's life. That's His life in us. And it doesn't get any better than that. Wherefore also, God highly exalted Him and endued Him, which means to equip or supply with a talent or quality. Quality. Endowed him with a name above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father glory. So that my beloved, even as you have always obeyed not, as in my presence only, because he's encouraging the body of Christ there, but now much rather in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So God has called us, and commanded us, basically, instructing us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasures. Do all things without murmuring and questioning, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, we have to let our light so shine, because God still has lots of sheep out there, and when we're letting our light shine and we're speaking the Word of God and speaking His Word, you know, well, guess what? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's his word, my voice, and will not follow a stranger. So now when I go out and minister the Word of God, I know that I'm ministering to God's sheep, those who've been called before the foundation of the world. Now I throw in there for such a time as this. And so God has a multitude of people out there that are sheep. But once they hear his voice, they'll repent and believe the gospel, which is the power of God to save them and heal them and deliver them. So it says, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as luminaries. I'm reading now the New American Bible, in the world, holding forth the word of life. Wow. That I may have whereof to glory in Christ's day, that I did not run in vain, neither toil in vain. Praise God. Yeah, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I rejoice and rejoice with you all. And in the same manner, rejoice ye and rejoice with me. So right there, he made a statement about service of your faith, you know. So we're called to serve one another. And, just like ministers, not to lord over God's heritage, but at the same time, God says, obey those who have lord over you. You know, see, we do it all in love. It's not to gain a following or anything like that. It's in love. If someone's speaking the word of God in love, well, we need to obey that. And I know that the Lord has brought a lot of correction through me, through David Ill's ministry, as he's been ministering the word of God. Brought a lot of correction in me. And, praise God. Amen. Now I got the light in there. Now I act on that light that I have, you know. Much like given, much more is required out of us. So the whole message tonight is based on love, and God just loves us with an everlasting love. And let's just obey. You know, if you struggle in some areas, you can ask the Lord to give you grace to love one another. If you're having problems in that area, you can say, well, Lord, well, that person right there just really loves me the wrong way, you know. But, Lord, I know your word says to love one another. So, Lord, put a love in my heart for that person and see what happens, you know. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God and doing the word of God, you know. We're not to be just the hearers only, but we're also to be doers of the word of God and put it to practice, just like Michael was talking, David Ills was talking about. we have to put it in action right here. And I was just reading that, you know, Vine's expository, I read that it talked about, it says right here, it really just spoke volumes to me when I read this one day. It says, love can be known only from the action it prompts. God's love is seen in the gift of his son. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Well, Brother David and Michael, that's what the Lord just put on my heart, you know.
All right. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing I was thinking about is the religious spirit that tries to mimic love. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 22, it says, seeing that you have purified your souls and in your obedience to the truth unto, see, this is what it's all leading up to, right? Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten or born again. There it is again. Agape love is being born again. But go back to that word where he says, your obedience to the truth unto, in other words, this is the ultimate thing, unto unfeigned love. You know what feigned love is? It's fake love. It's that thing you do to try to be like everybody else. I love you, brother, and a big smile, you know. But you might be, you know, turning around trying to pull their blade out of your back the next minute, you know, because there is no love there. It is just putting on a religious spirit. It is just trying to be like everybody else, to be acceptable in other people's eyes, you know. And they'll say they love you, but their actions prove differently. Unfeigned love. Unto unfeigned love. You might as well say unfaked love. It's because it's fake, you know. And in chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, putting away, therefore, all wickedness, and all guile, and all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk, which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. It's without guile. You know, guile is deceit. It's a snare, you know. Without guile, without deception. You know, when a person can just be themselves, and themselves is Jesus, and themselves is love, and it comes natural to them, and their other actions agree with love, it's not just a word they spoke out of their mouth, I love you, brother, you know, and their actions prove that, and they're forgiven, and they're kind, and they're patient and all these things, you know, that's when you can say, I love you, brother, and mean it, and it's not a deception. You know, God can see right through you, you know. You know, he's giving you a reward for what he's seeing, and quite frankly, he doesn't like what he sees in a lot of people. You know, chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, let's see if that's where I want to start. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 8. Let's see. Finally, be ye all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrariwise, blessing. For hereunto were you called, that you should inherit a promise, a blessing. For he that would love life and seek good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Once again, same word. It means to bait or to snare or to deceive, right? That his lips that they speak no guile. In other words, no deception. It's not saying one thing, thinking inside another thing, doing another thing. And then let him turn away from evil and do good and let him seek peace and pursue it. There's a lot of wickedness in the church. There's no seeking of peace. There's no patience. There's no love. It's reviling. It's backstabbing. Thank God that he's coming to do something with this thing that we call the church. Thank God. And isn't it just awesome that we're not all going to fly away in this state, you know? Praise be to God, you know? The Lord is good. He's merciful. Look at Psalms 12 and verse 2. They speak falsehood, every one with his neighbor. Now, you know, it's not that they're lying. It's just that it's what they're saying is false. You know, they may be putting on airs. They could be speaking lies about another, obviously, but they may just be putting on airs. And it says, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. A double heart, flattering lips. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaketh great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? In other words, they're not being honest with what they say. They're not seeking to impress God with what they say. They're seeking to impress men with what they say. And seeking to use their tongue to further their own purpose in some kind of way. Because of the oppression of the poor and because of the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, says the Lord. I will set them in the safety they panted for. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver is tried in the furnace on the earth, purified seven times. Oh, praise the Lord. In chapter 15, in verse 2, I'm going to read verse 1. It says, Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? This is important, I'd say. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill, which is what? Zion, which is what? The bride. Who's going to do this? Well, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. In other words, you know, many people deceive themselves. They believe things that promote them. They believe things that promote their purpose. They believe things and speak things for selfish ambition, you know. And God lets that deceive them. And he that slandereth not with his tongue. Who is going to dwell in the bride? He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Oh, boy. There's a lot of people in trouble here. Taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. How about you, Brother Frank? You got something you want to share?
Well, you know, the truth conquers all.
Yeah.
And if we abide in truth, it's a thing we have to learn, because Satan will come with lust of the world and of the flesh and tries to substitute that for truth, the love of the truth, to draw you back into the world. But love conquers all. Mm-hmm. I was shared with tonight earlier when you and I were talking prior to the program, and Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. You don't want to be under the law. Walk in love and faith and love the Lord thy God. And love give us power to discipline ourselves. David, not to love the things of the world and be pulled, as James says, pulled back into the lust of the world. The flesh desires that, but we got to crucify the flesh and the love for our Father, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It works for me. And that's why the Word says love conquers all. And if we'll walk there in love and spirit and in truth, you know, Jesus declared himself, well, he was the Father manifested in the flesh and come to earth. He so loved us because he created in us, you know, to walk in his will and to obey and love him. And, brother, once I love the Lord and I have and discipline myself that I can sit down and have a fellowship and a relationship with him and just rejoice in the truth and the love and compassion that is bestowed upon me. And then he says, without that fellowship and relationship with him, Jesus himself says we could do nothing apart from him. And he declared himself as love. He so loved us that he come here to liberate us and teach us to walk in obedience to his word and love, compassion one for another. Brother, we serve an awesome God with his love, and sometimes it feels like David and brothers, that love just takes hold of me and I just float up off. I look down sometimes to see if my feet still on the ground or the surface, because I tell you that the love is all.
Amen.
Maybe you have something to add to that, David.
I believe it. That's what I add to it. I believe it.
Amen.
I'd like to see my feet off the ground a few times.
Well, I feel like I'm floating at times, David. I have, you know, the love, the power of love conquers all. Everything is fulfilled in love. Just like I read to you there in Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love, therefore, love is fulfilled the law. All that Jesus ever did, he walked in love. That gave him the power. He walked in love and truth, and he kept his self-discipline. The power of love will keep you. Will give you the power to discipline your life to love. You know, I can go in the scriptures and tell you what we shouldn't love. That's the lust of the world, lust of the flesh, and all that. God hates that. He hates a lying tongue. We should restrain ourselves from that. Refrain from that. If you know. Not allowed to come out of us. Now, I don't agree with everybody that walks up and begins to speak to me, especially those in the world, because Jesus, the Word says, you shall know them by their works. If their works is not operating in love and compassion, brother, I let it pass me by. I won't embarrass nobody. But my heart
sometimes
is,
you just got to embarrass them.
Well,
if they're trying to dump some evil on you, you know.
I know that.
You just got to say,
well,
hey.
I might say I serve the Lord my God and him only. I do say that.
Yeah.
But I won't what I'm saying, I won't argue with any man over the truth and the lie.
Yeah, amen.
Let every man be a liar, but you be truth. I mean, I won't, what I was saying, I don't argue with anyone, the gospel. But I will minister the word to them if they want to hear the word of life.
Amen.
Love is life.
Yes, it is.
It is. It's life in me. But I prayed to God so many times. I said, Lord, I never felt love till I loved you. True love.
Amen.
I had a possessive love like the world has. I don't want you for nobody else to have you. That's killed a lot of people, put a lot of people in the grave. You know, possessive love, but a pure love is so wholesome. You won't do anything to hurt nobody. You won't have no desire to hurt no one. I never do, but I stay away from that possessive love, the lust of the world, the pride. You know, I regard. You know, my brothers and sisters highly, and they feed my soul. You feed my soul, brother, and these other brothers do, because I sit and rejoice.
I'm enjoying this tonight. This is a good word.
That you asked me years ago to ask me to minister on love, you know, because love, like I just shared with you, conquers all.
Yeah.
You can discipline yourself. But without love, if you're double-minded, it's hard to discipline yourself to follow Jesus, follow the Word, and He is the Word.
Amen.
But if we allow love, that will conquer the love of the world and the lust of the world, then we are more than conquerors. Love conquers all.
Amen, amen.